Why is the message of grace so hard to understand and receive? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Light, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and welcome again, Pete.
Hey, good to be here. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to say, here's Pete. I know how busy your schedule is, and I appreciate your taking your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
To do this. Guys, Pete comes in with me on Fridays, and we answer questions. And we love to get your questions, but you have to write them down. Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or you can write, if you're in Canada, the Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want a response. And the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number is always available to you 24 hours a day, so you can get the catalog, become a part of Key Life Tapes, get the booklet that we're offering. You can get the magazine. You can make a contribution, but that's so that you can call up and ask for something, not ask a question. You have to write those out. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
All right. Our Father, we are looking forward to just being in your presence on Sunday. Lord, it's been a long week. Father, we've been doing our work. We've been taking care of our families, fulfilling the roles that society has for us and you have for us. And Lord, we just need a time to relax in your presence and remember that someone is bigger and stronger and more loving than we are. And we're going to do that on Sunday. But right now, we pause and we praise you for your kindness and your mercy. Lord, for your grace, for having a plan for our lives that is so good for us and for your glory. Lord, we confess that we often don't understand what you're doing. Sometimes we don't pause long enough to even ask or to think about what you might be up to in our lives. And so we pray for wisdom and pray for your guidance. And we pray that we would understand grace and experience it and not just talk about it. Father, we do look forward to Sunday. We pray for our leaders who are going to stand in front of us, teach us, lead us. Father, give them grace and strength, but a kind strength, Lord, that they would be bold with a love that Christ has. And that you would receive the honor of that time. So we look forward to that. Lead our leaders and lead us now. Even as we look at questions, we ask for wisdom and insight that this could feed our mind and then get into our hearts and then help to dictate the way we live. We just commit this time, and I commit Steve to you and pray that you continue to bless him in a big way. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question came by email. Why is the message of grace so hard to understand and so hard to receive? It isn't it?
It really is. That's such a great... It's probably different for all of us, for every person, I would think. But I think the urge towards self-justification is just huge.
It really is.
I mean, the first thing, if you were to criticize, and you've never criticized me, I ask you, hey, criticize my sermons or give me some...
I don't have anything to criticize. Well, man, love your preaching. People kid about it, but I really get blessed.
Well, but even if I were to ask you for that, and you don't, but because you're so... Where was I going with all this?
We talk about the need for self-justification.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Even if you were to criticize...
See, I listen to your sermons,
you
too,
do.
As well as to your comments on this broadcast.
And you know the way I think, even if I don't. If you were to criticize me, the first thought would be, how can I justify myself? How could I explain it away? And I don't want to appear bad. I'm that insecure.
And so when you start moving that into areas of our lives... Mm-hmm. It's very hard not to try to justify ourselves and to say, I was wrong.
That's right.
But, you know, it is a wonderful freedom not to have to be right.
It is.
I mean, to not, and I haven't reached that, and you haven't either, but But the more I walk in this, the more that reality becomes a gift.
Yeah.
We were talking, and I'm not going to bring up what was said, but I said something that was taken the wrong way on a broadcast. And Eric, who is our engineer producer, who's in the little glass booth in there, had talked about the receptionist downstairs who received a caller who was very irate because of something that I said. and it was sort of, well, if I start thinking, I'm not going to tell you what it wasn't meant the way it was taken.
No.
And but immediately inside, I was trying to justify myself.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't understand. They were looking for something.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, what is it?
Yeah.
I'm human. I'm sinful. I do really dumb things sometimes, and God loves me a lot.
That's right.
And that's grace.
It is. And it's helped me in so many ways just to see you laugh at yourself. And that's helped me in my marriage, and it's helped me with my kids. Because now when I make a mistake, I can just say, oh, yeah, I did. I messed up. Mm. And when my kids laugh at me, and they're getting older, my oldest are 16 and 14, they laugh at me all the time. And it is so refreshing not to have to be that, have that male self-justification. Now,
that's true.
Not
I know your boys.
Sometimes I go pound on them.
Yeah, but, that's true. But that's a loving laughter because I've watched them laugh at you. It's not a, but, you know, there's another thing, too. We really hate to owe, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, we really want to make up. I mean, somebody said to Luther, do we not bring anything to our salvation? Mm-hmm. And he said, you misheard. I hope you didn't think I said that. Mm-hmm. Of course you bring something to your salvation. You bring your sin and your rebellion to your salvation. That's all you bring.
Yeah.
But we don't like that, man. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody buys me lunch, the next time we're out to lunch, I'm going to buy lunch. Because I want to keep that thing even. And you can't keep it even with God.
No, you can't. Yeah, we don't want to think God is as holy and righteous as he is revealed in the Bible. And we don't want to think we're as bad as the Bible tells us we are.
Boy, that's true. And then there's a sign of the fall in us that moves toward religion. And the very thing that did make Jesus angry, you know what scares me? It was people like us. It was the very religious. The people are really doing the best they can to live it that made Jesus angry. He never got angry at the winos, at the sinners, at the prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because they knew they were bad and they didn't have to justify themselves.
Yeah. That's so good. I mean, the Pharisees were nothing more than the popular pastors of the day.
Oh.
And
that's true. And I don't want to get off on this because we spend the whole time, but you know that the theology of the Pharisees, if you look at first century, is probably nearer the modern-day equivalent theologically to the first century Pharisees are probably evangelicals.
Yeah, yeah.
They believed in angels, life after death, the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
the limited canon. I mean, those are kinds of things that we believe and hold.
Exactly. Good point.
Scares me to death. I don't know about you.
And they were the ones that kept the programs going and the machinery of religion. Whoa.
Whoa.
I'm going to become an engineer, man.
I'm going to vinyl repair, man. let me see. This is from Florida. How does the commandment about not making idols apply to our lives today?
Well, was it Calvin that said our hearts are idol factories?
Really are.
We just, by our sin nature, even though we're new creatures in Christ, we have the tendency to manufacture new idols. And once we think we get one under control, another one will pop up, whether it's, our ego, our pride, our lust, or whatever. We can put anything up there.
Anything that is greater in our lives than God is can become an idol.
Exactly.
And it can be, it can even be good things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It can be the church.
Yep.
I got a new car. I don't want you to think I'm bragging or anything. But God said if I didn't get over my worship of it, I was going to have a crash. But, I think in that and so many other things, Calvin's comment about hearts being idol factories mm-hmm. are so true. And we need to be very aware and very sensitive. And that doesn't mean that all of a sudden we get spiritual and say, I'm going to fix it. We bring that before the Father who loves us.
Yeah.
And we say, Lord.
That's right.
Man, this is eating away at me.
That's right.
You know, Wesley said, since we're going to quote Calvin, Wesley said, whenever I get money, I have to give it away quickly lest it eat a hole in my heart.
Mm.
And lots of things can be.
Hey, I got to tell you what my wife said after church on Sunday, because I preached on how How do we grow? Well, we grow spiritually as we worship and behold His glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Yeah.
As we behold His glory, He changes us. And she came home and she said, you know, it could be very easy for us to become proud about our worship.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, that's the next thing. I mean, now we finally are getting rid of the three-point plans to grow. And we're saying, I'm just going to worship God. Now, what a great person I am by worshiping God. It's just
Karen that I said she was a troubler in Israel.
I'll tell her that.
But she's right, isn't she?
Because
our heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah.
It's desperately corrupt. And the Holy Spirit's business is in a gentle, non-condemning way to remind us and to remind us. You know, it's very easy for me to become a Pharisee about Pharisees.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's so easy for me. And God has pointed that out to me on a lot of occasions. So, yeah. Okay, so it is possible to have idols and apply them today. How do we know that Christ is the only way to God? This is an email, and I looked down at that and read that in the sentence, and I thought it said, how do we know that Christ sends us emails today? And I thought, oh, come on, man. But how do we know that Christ is the only way to God?
Simple, he said it.
Yeah.
I am the way,
that's enough.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 4:16, is that right?
I know you're not a navigator.
I know, I'm not either.
It could be 17 or 14.
Yeah.
I don't.
Could be 10:17.
Yeah, it could be in 1 Corinthians.
I don't know that.
Yeah, but absolutely, because he said it. You know, that's a hard thing for us to present in terms of our culture. You know, truth by its very nature is divisive.
Yes.
I mean, if 2 plus 2 can't be 5 and 3 all at the same time, and if you've got somebody who's committed in their checkbook to 2 plus 2 equals 5, and you tell them that 2 plus 2 equals 4, you know, they're not going to be happy with you.
That's right.
Because it's going to require... But we must be very careful as Christians that we not speak that with arrogance. That means he's the only way. It doesn't mean we're the only way.
That's right.
And I think sometimes we offend people with our arrogance rather than the truth.
Yeah. So true. And the 2 plus 2, at least that appeals to our logic.
Yeah.
2 plus 2, because but Christ is the only way, does not appeal to our logic.
But it's true. You just can't change it. And once you see truth, you can't unsee it. So for those of you who are listening and are not happy with what we just said, that Jesus is the only way, deal with it. Because you just got to speak truth.
That's right.
And
check him out in the Gospels. Check him out in the Gospels.
That's true. And find out. We got to go. Hey, listen, whenever your writer calls, give us the call letters of this station. And oh, yes, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.